How many saw Brooke Mills last night on The Voice? Y'all remember Brooke Mills? She came here and ministered here with the family, the Mills family. She was the very last one last night at 10 o'clock. She was the very last one. All four chairs turned, and all of them were begging for her. And I knew that was going to be like that because she can sing. Lord knows that girl can sing. I remember when her and Bethany used to get in trouble at Williamson Church of God, because her and Bethany are the same age, and they'd be little bitty things running around and getting in trouble. I don't know who got who in trouble. Bethany got Brooke in trouble, or Brooke got Bethany in trouble. She said it was Brooke. Okay. But one of them, and then Linda got in trouble because Jamil come and told Linda one time, says, can you please quit egging her on? So it was really cool. And I was hoping she was going to get Blake Shelton, but she picked Miley Cyrus. So she said she wanted to do something different. That's definitely different. So, that show can switch that fast. But she was great. They even said, Adam said, you smell that? I smell victory. He said that she was so good that she was going to win the whole thing. Oh, yeah. How can you pick with all? But that's why the nation has to help pick it. She was good. I've never seen a ventriloquist that good, ever. Yeah, I mean, she was just awesome. Okay, it's time to take our prayer request to the Lord. I already talked about Nancy Wainwright's daughter, Teresa. I also remember my mother-in-law and father-in-law and my wife. This stuff does get very heavy and weighs heavy on us. And so right now it's only me and Bethany and Linda taking care of them. We don't have to be there 24/7, but we have to provide 24/7. That y'all caregivers, what I'm talking about is make sure if they need something, we have to be there. And if we know something's going down, we got to be there. Like Linda had to get off work early today and go around there to take her mama to the doctor, regular doctor's appointment. And Linda even hired somebody to come in and clean the house, and she was laying on the couch. She had got vertigo. I mean, it's like, wow. When it rains, it pours. Anybody's got a special prayer request you want to share? Congregation? Oh, I'm sorry. How long did you have it? Wow. I'm sorry. Was it expected? That's a very painful thing. I'm sorry. And praise God, Bethany's finally gone through all the stuff, and now she's free. She's a free girl. Everything's good. Well, you got a few more hoops to jump through, but officially it's over. And she's got to have a clean record, and it's over, and praise God. God, like I told her, I'm going to get her to go buy me a couple of lottery tickets. Look. No, she actually said she knows God did it, and we know God did it. I was picking her about the lottery ticket. We know God did that. Okay, so anybody else got any prayer requests? Restraining order. unless you get permission. The thing about people don't understand when they get married is I hear them all the time say, I really know that person. Honestly, in all honesty, there has never been two people on this earth that knew each other perfectly before they got married. It's impossible. There's something about when you get hitched. I mean, that changes things. And you're first attracted by things that appeal to you. But the same things that appeal to you eventually can also be things that repel you. So you just got to make your mind up. This is going to be okay. God has given us all we needed to make this work. Hang in there. Unless somebody's being abused, then you just get out of it. Because ain't anybody being hurt? No. All right. Well, there's a lot of people are like that, and that's why you have, as much as possible, make the transition as smooth as possible. Even the smoothest of transitions can still bring problems, but you try to make it as smooth as possible. All right, any more unspoken requests? Raise your hands. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your awesomeness. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to look to you right now, to know, God, that you got all things under control, in your hands. You are able, Lord, minister mightily to us and through us, Father, in a very powerful way this night. Let us, God, see you in a very real way, and we thank you for it right now. Meet every need spoken and spoken alike. We thank you, Lord, for bringing peace, comfort, and hope, and, Lord, comfort. A lot of folks are needing comfort because of loss and because of future. They need comfort. Bring it right now. In the name of Jesus we pray. We thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Brother Wayne. Amen. Coming up in the next few weeks, we have it in the bulletin. We're going to have a church joining, and after the church joining, we're going to have a few other little things. It's going to be awesome coming up. So please be much in prayer. If you're not a member here, and member or not, does not stop me from ministering to you. Matter of fact, member is actually a position that you get just so you can hold positions. That's the biggest thing, and help lead. So being a member does not being a member does not prohibit you from anything as far as that. You're cordially invited to meet and greet on September 28th from 4 to 7 at Hazel Guiltford Memorial Library. Dr. R. Loop, ED, president of Beaufort County College, he's going to be there. He's coming all the way over here for us to meet him instead of us going all the way over there to meet him. He's coming all the way over here. Cool. In the library. No, Hazel W. Guilford Memorial Library. They almost shut it down because somebody colored in one of the books and somebody else forgot to bother bring the other one back, but they took care of it. I know, I'm playing. I know you do. I've used it. I'm going to tell you something, that's kind of a nice library too, in this bath. You just, Years ago, it was very small. That's where I come up with. Somebody even told me about that bath. They were shutting it down because somebody had written all, had colored the whole book. That's right. We got a library back here. Y'all need to know this. It's not just some old messed up stuff. This is top notch, first class. I mean, first class stuff. And it's there for our use. So all you got to do is go in and just check it out. You sign the card and leave it in the basket. Check it out. Sign the card and leave it in the basket. If you keep it more than a week, we charge you $5 a day, late fee. No, we don't. I was being funny. Look, no. If y'all want to get a book, go on over there. There's some good stuff. I know there's some good stuff because I helped unload a lot of it, and I've seen it, and I've got some stuff I carried out of my library and stuck in there that I used over the years. I know there's good stuff over there. And Sister Jeanette, she didn't allow junk. She's the one that got this going, and it is top notch. I will put it beside any other church library around. It's that good. Okay. You had your hand raised, Bethany? Okay. I thought you were raising your hand. I saw her hand go up. She's fixing her hair. Okay. Are you fixing your hair too, Sister Vicky? Okay. Awesome. Awesome. I think it's the one we got on the window. Is that the one Doug announced Sunday? Okay, because we got two going. We got one Sister Dot. The seniors have something going, and I believe that's the one, too. So we got two things going, so there's no reason why we can't get things to them. We got stuff. We've got the means to get it to them. Okay? I know some people, they would complain. Some folks, if you were giving away, look, my mom used to say this guy said if you were giving away free $10 bills, he would complain because you didn't give him 2 fives. You know, and there's people complaining about everything. They just want to complain. And one thing you've learned around here is the people that now I'm not talking about this, I'm talking about in the government and this other stuff, the people that complain the most and shout the loudest, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And so we are trying to help. We're trying to help all over. And this president we have has not been slack when it comes to helping people in need. And I can't think of another president that's given $1 million of his own money for hurricane relief. I mean, of his own money. Nobody coerced him. He did it himself. You know, and we had some guys out playing golf and stuff like this was going on. So, we forget that. We forget that stuff. All we can think about is we're going to beat somebody up now. We're doing it. People are being taken care of. We're doing it. I'm a little disappointed in the whole situation with football this last Sunday and the and standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. It's about the flag. It's not about what Trump said. It's about the flag. And I saw a thing on Facebook. Linda showed me last night, said those that refused to stand for the flag obviously had never been given one, and there was a man under a tent giving one to a widow. a folded flag to a widow. And when I think about stuff like that, those guys gave their lives so we could have the freedom to protest, but still in your protest, still honor, you know, this is the freest, most awesome country on earth. You know, any other country you do this, they would be shot. There is some places they would be shot. That was just something, it's just a big old, one thing, Trump needs to learn how to run his mouth better. Right. Right. But that they knew when they put Trump in there that he was probably the least presidential of any president we've had, and he was going to say what he felt, and what he feels changes. And so we got what we voted for. Yeah, real person. Yeah. Yes. That's biblical. There's everybody in power. He's got everything. He's under control. He's got everything under control. He's not up in heaven going, I didn't see that coming. No. And I can tell you, I'm glad of that because I do mess up a lot. So I'm glad he's here to not laugh at me or get mad at me. Yeah. Okay, let's get into this. Last week, I actually took it. Last week, if you were here last week, you would have a different kind of paper. Same stuff, but it was different. This last week was thrown together. And after service, I went back there, and Eddie was back there with me. I went ahead, and Eddie kept going and getting them for me. I was redoing them. And I said, Eddie, can you go make some of these? He go make some and come back. And I said, nah, I still messed up. Can you go make some more? So I think Eddie went to the printer about 10 times. Only twice, okay. It felt like it was 10 times after service, but now you've got one that's a whole lot more uniform. But we stopped after Psalm 103 last week, so I'm just going to go real quick up to Psalm 103, and it's actually what is praise. And this was one the Lord laid on my heart. Our praise should be in proportion to God's greatness, which means it is to be measureless. Wow. Our praise is to be measureless. The more we praise God, the more we welcome His greatness. So it's kind of a, people say, well, I haven't had God talk to me in years. That's, well, He does. He talks to us through nature. He talks to us through events. He talks to us through the ministry. He talks to us through songs. He talks to us through other people. And the biggest way He talks to us through His Word. When you take His Word down, if I said something, whatever I said, and you had that, and every now and then you look down and read it, you can believe that you've got something I have said. So I have, in fact, been talking to you. If I wrote you a letter, I'm still talking to you through that letter. Guys in the war would read a letter over and over and over again. When somebody dies, you got a letter from somebody, you read it over and over again, because you have the sense of that person talking to you. You got God's Word. And the more we praise Him for His greatness, the greater He becomes. That's so awesome. So we're thinking that the praise team's got to do it, or we're thinking that somebody else has got. No, if you need God in your life strong, the way to get Him in your life strong is to praise Him. Praise Him when you praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the evening, praise Him in the morning, praise Him at noontime. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him when you feel like it. Praise Him when you don't feel like it. I should say there's two times to praise God: when you feel like it and when you don't. Praise Him. If you praise Him, amazing things happen. Psalm 48:1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. What is praise? Praise means to command, to applaud, to express approval or admiration of, extol in words or song, magnify, glory, to honor or to celebrate. Here's the first three we went over last week. Praise is proclaiming or declaring things about God. And this was the stickler last week, the thing I walked away with anyway. We praise God directly by expressing our admiration to Him. When we say, "You are, Father, You are my God. You are my strength. You are my hope. You are my everything." That's a direct expression of admiration to Him. We praise Him directly. The way we praise God indirectly is when we tell others about Him and say, "You know what? God is my strength. God is my hope. God is my source." And as I'm telling you, I'm indirectly praising God. When I'm talking just me and Him, I'm directly praising Him. When I'm telling you, I'm indirectly praising Him. And God wants us to do both of them. Praise is based on and focuses both on the character of God and the acts that He does toward us and toward us His children. God is worthy to be praised just because of who He is. Praise is a function of our will, not our emotions. There's the other one. There's a stickler. Praise is a function of our will, not our emotions. If I went by my emotions, I may not praise Him as much. I can't go by what I'm feeling. I got to go by what I know. It's the same way. How many here you had children that were, you know, that your children needed school clothes or your children needed food on the table, and you didn't go to work because you felt like it. You went to work because you knew it was the right thing to do and that your children needed that. Or you went and took your children and got them clothes, not because they've been the greatest kids in the world, not because you were just couldn't wait to get them something, because they may have been some mean fellas. But it's not because you felt like it. It's because it was the right thing to do. All right? The same way with God. Praising God, we must will ourselves to praise even when we don't feel like it. It should be based on God's greatness, not on our feelings. Psalm 103 and 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Now, there's where we stopped last week. Here we go. David actually commanded his soul to bless the Lord. Wow. He commanded his soul. Soul, you're going to praise God. I know you might not feel like it, but you're going to praise God. Psalm 43 and 5 says, "I will bless the Lord." Not I'll think about it, not possibly when I get around to it. I will bless the Lord. Number four, when we truly understand and recognize the greatness of God, praise comes freely. When you really, really think about just who He is and what He can do and what He does do. Like yesterday when we went to the court and it was just like bam, 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 out. And everything was just as small as it could get. And the Lord was just, I could see it. It was like the Lord was up there with His sword and He just went, phew, phew, phew. And we walked out of there and I'm thinking, what just happened? You know, but that's God. And God says, I need my daughter to do something special for me. So I'm going to make sure that she's going to get a clean slate to take care of it. And that was just awesome. All right. Yes, it was. All right. One way to know Him is by His names. Exodus 15:26, Jehovah Rapha. Whenever you see Jehovah and a name behind it, that is a covenant name of God. Jehovah and then the covenant name. Now, if you look in the scripture, you'll see exactly, many times it'll tell you exactly what it's talking about, but read the scripture in context to get a full understanding. Exodus 15:26, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord the healer. Genesis 22, verses to stick in the water and heal the waters, the Lord is our healer. Genesis 22, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Abraham, remember we talked about it at the baby dedication Sunday morning. Jehovah Jireh provided the lamb. Exodus 48:35, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. No matter where I go, there's two things I have discovered. Two things. And it's true 100% of the time. Number one, wherever I go, there I am. You know, sometimes we think, I need to get out of these problems. And you go into another situation, you go, well, I still got these problems. Sometimes the problem is not the people around you. sometimes the problem's us. It can be both. It can be a little bit of both. What I was going to say is, what I've discovered is no matter where I go, there I am. But I've also discovered that no matter where I go, there he is. That's the kicker. That's the most awesome thing. So what worship is? Worship is to adore reverently, to feel deep, devoted love, to regard with respect, with great awe and devotion. Wow. Worship God. It's just an awesome thing to worship God. He sees us in our frailties and in our inadequacies, and he fills the gap. This he's always up here talking about. We got to fill the gaps. We can't have any gaps in our music. You know, you hear it all the time, don't you, Eddie? We got to fill the gap. Said, Eddie, this is your time to fill the gap. Daddy, you got to fill the gap. Yeah, BJ, fill the gap. And we might not necessarily hear that gap, but DC's listening, and DC's done this professionally, and DC hears the gap, and he'll say, stop, and he'll go, play it again. And he'll play it again. He said, Daddy, now you're playing the bass, and you're doing a good job, but you're not doing what we need. Okay, son. Thank you, I think. I'm doing a good job, but I'm not doing what I need to do. Okay, tell me what I need to do then, son. And I don't ever argue with him. I just say, tell me. Because I know he's right. And then he'll say, right here, instead of going, boom, 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 boom. Right here, I want you to go, boom, 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 boom. I go, oh. I said, he says, because then you fill the gap. I said, oh. Okay, well, let me tell you something. All of our lives have gaps in them. All of us. And there's two things you got to know. The part we do filling the gap is we can praise God. And as we praise God, we can let God fill the gap. If I'm praising God, God will be right there to fill the gap for me. And let's see. Worship. Excuse me, reverence. When we worship, we reverence, fear, respect, give ourselves totally. No, we can only worship to the degree we know. Trust in totally, center of our lives, have full security in. Adoration, love is first priority. Okay, I'm reverencing God. When I worship him properly, I'm reverencing him. You know, it's possible there's people that worship God and don't reverence him. Okay, because their lifestyle doesn't show it. The way they do doesn't show it. So when we're going to worship him properly and you want to really get in, you got to fear him. Number two, worship is more than songs. It is our lives. This is what I'm talking about. It's our lives, and it's a heart attitude. And when you're truly worshiping, you can worship all by yourself, and words and songs are not needed. And we come together. We do. We sing, because that gets us together. Music's got its place. It pulls us together. But by yourself, you're at work one day, or you're riding down the road, or you're going to go in a graveyard. You know, or get ready to go in the funeral home. One of the places I really do not like to go, but I go every time when I'm with one of our people, I always want to go with them, and that is the coffin room at the funeral home. I don't like it. I mean, it's got all the coffins. It's got everything up there. It's got all the memorials. And when Beverly died, I called the funeral home and I said, you got to do me a favor, fellas. They said, what you need? I said, I need you to bring two coffins down for the boys to pick from. I don't need any more coffins anywhere. And what coffin are we talking about? I said, just bring them down. I brought down a white coffin that had pink starburst. And they just brought a pink coffin. I said, that's all I want. Put them down there so those boys don't have to go up in that coffin room. I've been up in that coffin room so many times I can't even count. And I still don't like going up there. You know, it's just not a place you want to be. It's not a place you want to hang out. Let's go get some Bill's hot dogs, go up and sit in the coffin room and eat them. You know, that ain't going to happen. You know, but when I go up there, I go up there with a praise on my heart. And on the way up there, I say, God, I thank you. And when I'm with somebody, I got my hands on them, my hands on their shoulder, and I say, Lord, touch them, lift them up, strengthen them now so they can do what they need to do, so they can pick what they need to pick. You know, matter of fact, the best thing we could do for our families is to go ahead and prearrange and pick what you want. Yep, that's the way to do it. It's done. You know, did you know, and of course, I'm in one of the classes I'm taking, do you know that the average, and I do mean the average caregiver who really is heavy duty involved in taking care of their loved ones all the way to the end, they only are about 70% aware of all the wishes of the deceased. So, if you can think about it sometime, you ain't got necessarily go up there and pay for it. It'd be cool if you did go pay for it, but if you ain't got to pay for it, please go up there and pick out stuff, write it down, and like Linda has a CD that she has up on the wall, My Funeral Music. And she's got that up there. And of course, I wrote some stuff down. And I don't know where I put it. I got to find it again because I don't want to bury it with me. Yeah, it's in that room in there. Yeah. Well, I see that. When I got there with Mama and Beverly and my granddaddies and grandmamas, you know, every time I go out there, I see my name. You know, it's got 1959. It didn't have an ending date on it yet. But I see it. And I tell you what it will do. It'll make you think. When you look down and see your name on that rock, there was this one lady. She told her friend, she said, after her husband's funeral, she said, I am broke. She said, broke? I thought he left you a $20,000 policy. She said, yep. He said, and you spent $20,000 on the funeral? She says, no, I only spent $5,000 on the funeral. She said, well, why are you broke? She said, well, I spent $15,000 on the memorial stone. And she said, that must be some kind of memorial stone. She said, yeah, 5 carats. All right. All right. Okay. Worship is respect for God, the Holy One, the Great One, ministering unto God, to pour out one's love and admiration before Him with a heart of humility. Humbling ourselves under God has to do with worship. You cannot, if you're going to humble yourself before God, whether you're singing songs, whatever, when you get in that position of humbling yourself before God, you are worshiping Him. Right? That's why I say some people are worshiping, but they're not necessarily worshiping because they don't come with the spirit of humility. Okay? They're kind of standing up beside Him. I can't stand up beside God. I got to get underneath. Lord, let me get underneath. All right? It is an outpouring of our whole being in the presence of God. It is an outflowing of our deepest love and admiration. Luke 10 and 27 says to love the Lord with all your heart. Matthew 4 and 10, Luke 4 and 8 says to worship Him only. Worship is birthed out of our understanding of God as He revealed Himself to us through His Word and as we have experienced Him in our lives. Wow. Some powerful stuff. I'm not sure if we're going to go to another part of this next week. I'm not sure. But this has been an awesome, awesome thing. And like Eddie said, I told Eddie it was going to be light, and Eddie said this wasn't light. Well, no, it's not light in that aspect. I mean, it was light as in not heavy duty, as in some of the heavy-duty mental issues that we deal with. Amen. I reckon that's part of having a pastor that's also a counselor. We're going to deal with, you know, I like to think of Sunday morning as not only a time to worship God, I also like to look at it as a time when you pass out the word, when you give the word, that actually it's got a purpose behind it, very strong, and it's not just thrown together. And usually it's directed at some type of problem that we're all facing, and we could use a little help. You know, so that's why you know, it's kind of like a counseling session. Every time I get up here, I feel like it's kind of like a little counseling session or life coaching. Okay. Now, anybody got any questions? Any comments? I knew it. Go ahead. Sure. That's awesome. I can tell you yours is to stay right beside me and do whatever I need you to do. I'm playing with you. No, my purpose is to, see, here's another problem we have. We're too busy giving our kids parachutes when we need to be giving them wings. Amen? In this millennial age, we've given them all parachutes, and they don't know how to fly. You know, not all of them, but just many of them. You know, like I said, every week I see people that can't even count the change back to me, or they keep the pennies. They don't even give me the pennies back. I'm going, that's my change too. Why don't you give my pennies back? Or somebody look at me treating me like I'm whatever, and I'm trying to buy something from them, and they're treating me like I'm, I don't know, whatever. Smoking. Send that to me. I want to put that as a mighty army. That'll be, if you send it to me tonight, it'll be mighty army tomorrow. Because that is what prevents. I had somebody in the last few days, somebody not around here, somebody just was just talking. And I was sitting there, we were on the bleacher, and they were talking, and they said, I can't believe that my kids have become millennials. And you got to understand what we're talking about, millennials. We're talking about millennials is, you know, they want the most output with the least amount of input. And they won't just stand around and want you to treat them like whatever, instead of when we come up, I was taught to work hard, the value of a dollar, to work hard, to give an honest day's work or an honest day's wage. I always went to work early, come home late, always, every day. And what I was going to say is, I told that person, I said, well, the problem is, you're saying, what do I do? And I said, quit enabling them and start empowering them. Now, what does that mean, to quit enabling them and start empowering them? If you're going to sit around every time they stump their toe, and you're going to jump in and you're going to just take care of it and then go beyond at your own expense and your own tiredness and your whatever, and they don't really actually do it so much, they just think it's there for them and they don't even try, then you have enabled them. But if you let them learn to stand on their own two feet, as hard as it is, sometimes you got to stand back. But I did that with DC and Daniel. And DC and Daniel, they've told Bethany many times, said, you have no idea. You think Daddy was just an easy pushover. And they said, Daddy weren't a pushover, because there was a lot of hard things Daddy did. And I remember, and DC and Daniel both told Bethany, said, the best thing I ever did for both of them was to stop helping them. Yeah. I mean, I didn't leave them. I didn't walk away from them. I still was there if they needed me. I didn't mean that way. But I gave them a chance to get some wings. I quit being the parachute, you know. And if they got in trouble, I was there. And if they needed advice, I was there. If they needed a little help, you know, it's like DC said, well, it's okay, Daddy. I don't need that. And I gave him a little money. And I said, no, son. I said, a couple of years ago, I wouldn't even thought about this. And I said, but now I see you trying. You're really trying. You're really doing it. And you just need to help me get over this bump. And so I'm going to help you get over that bump. There's a difference than me dragging him to the bump and throwing him over. I had an old hunting dog one time, and I carried him in the woods out in Merritt. When I carried him in the woods, I had to pick him up and throw him across the ditch. Yeah, I had to throw him across the ditch. I mean, it was just pitiful. And if I ever did try it, I tried to train him with a rabbit and with a squirrel, and all he did was take him off and eat him. So that was the end of that hunting dog. For us hunting, not into him, but for us hunting. All right, so anybody got anything? And God does the same thing with us. There's times where he's given us wings, and we just don't realize it. If we could praise him, it's amazing what will happen. Anybody? Anything? Don't forget to send that to me, because that's awesome, sister. I can't wait to send that one off tomorrow. And if you know anybody that wants to, I get sometimes up to 5 to 10 requests a week to get put on Mighty Army, and sometimes my app does kick you out. Now, I don't do it. The app does, because it's a mass texting app, and to make it easy, instead of putting 800, I send out 800 every morning. And it started with 2, and it's gone to 800. I also take out 1 or 2 a week because people change their phone numbers. And some people get it, and they just say, we'd rather not. I said, it's not a problem. I just take them right off. But more go on than come off. But the point I'm trying to make is, though, if you were getting Mighty Army and you don't, he'll tell me if you don't get Mighty Army by 8 o'clock, he's telling me, he's sending me the thing, Mighty Army? Question mark. If you're on Mighty Army and you don't get one by 8 o'clock in the morning, you need to text me and say, Mighty Army with a question mark, because I don't know if you're not getting it, because it tells me you're getting it. It's that app. And then what happens is, sometimes you tell me you're not getting them, and I'll put your name in it, and then you get them 2 times. Because now the app will pick up the other one and that one. And I'm not saying, Frankie. Right. Right, I'll check them out. Yeah. It's the app. And if I can find a better app, Linda keeps saying she's going to find me a better app. But so far, we haven't found it. I looked. I couldn't find a better app. Yeah. Well, this text, I can't send all 800 at once. I break it down. I just go A through D, then E through G or K. And so some of them have 200, some of them have 300. And I'll send one, and I'll give it a few seconds, and then I'll send the other one. Wow. Wow. Today. Well, this morning's was Mighty Army. When something bad happens, you have 3 choices. You can either let it define you, destroy you, or let it strengthen you. Yesterday says to everyone going through a struggle or pain right now, keep your head up and keep on smiling. God will get you through it. Sunday was my favorite. Mighty Army, talk doesn't cook rice. Chinese proverb. I think we did. Well, we ate Chinese on Friday, didn't we? Thursday or Friday. Wow. If you'll let me know, if you know somebody wants to get on it, because I have them all the time. My friend wants to get on it, put my son on it, put whoever. It's not a problem. And if you're not getting it, if you'll let me know, it's not going to aggravate me. It will not aggravate me, I promise. I said your phone number. It's a text. So are you? You're not on it, Vicky. You're not on it. Well, I thought you were on it. Let me check. That's text. I just sent it to you. That's right. Oh, yeah. No. But this mass happened, don't do that. Vicky, is your number 944-6016? That's why you're not getting it. Well, what's your number? Wait a minute. I'm going to put it back in here. Okay. It's what now? No, I got right. You got right now. Okay, I'll put you on tonight. I got to put you in as a contact. It definitely, you know, that. It's like, look, that's funny, Mighty Armina, dun, 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 dun. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's like where the nuns in the Catholic Church had that sign up, had that thing that said, "Don't eat, take apples are free, but only take one. God is watching you." And the candy in the back, there was a sign by one of the kids says, "Take all the candy you want. God's watching the apples."